I love young folks, and I love to do for young folks, and I'll do anything in the world that I can to help them, to make them happy and to work with them, if they'll just do right. But if they make me miserable, well, I don't like to be around them. You don't like to be around nobody's going to make you miserable, do you? Always afraid they're going to say something or do something that's ungodly. The Bible said Lot was vexed down there by their evil conversation, wanting to joke. Let's be sober-minded. The Bible says to be vigilant and be sober, for thine adversary the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So let's be clean and let's be upright in the sight of God. Did you know we've hardly got a decent girl today? You hardly got a decent man that you can marry. That's right. I'd hate to start looking for a wife or a husband if I was a woman. That's right. There just hardly ain't any more. All right. Now then, we have tried our best to write these things and illustrate them, and I'm getting word from different ones that wanted to be here in the teaching, some that's out of town in different places. It's come to us and they wanted to be here for the teachings, and they said that they planned to be here and things has gone wrong and they're disappointed because they couldn't be here, and some of them has just been here once or twice, is disappointed some things has happened and they wanted so much to be in on these teachings. Well, that's the way it is. See, if there really is any good in the teachings for you, you've just got to lay everything else aside and come, or you just don't get it. See, the devil will do anything in the world he can. Now, I'm not saying that I'm doing you any good in what little we're doing, but if it's doing you any good, well, then you just have to press through and come on out. The Bible said men pressed away into the kingdom of God, and you remember, the devil ain't going to let you do nothing. Now, sometimes I think folks think I'm a little bit hard, but I'm not. I just believe in being straight. It's like this rainy weather. Every time I get up, somebody says, lo and behold, it's raining. We can't work today. And as Brother Taylor said today, some of them's glad it's raining because they didn't want to work to start with. And he said that it come to him today to rebuke the weather, you know. And so then it come to him that some folks didn't want to rebuke the weather. It was too glad it was there to stop. I said, oh, frown looking at me because I'm getting on somebody's toes. That's all right. I'm going to say it anyway. So Brother Taylor said today he rebuked the weather. He just went ahead and rebuked the weather. Well, I just told my wife, I said, I'm so tired of getting up saying it's raining, I can't do it, it's raining. I says things done got to go around and around in my head like a whirlpool up here. And I said, if it rains, I don't care in the essence of it, if it rains, if it snows, if it lightens, whatever it does, I said, I intend to build that building. By the grace of God, I intend to build it. Now, if God don't want me to build it, he just better take my life and let that be it and put somebody else on job, because I intend to build it. If I have to get out there like a hog in the mud, and that's what we done yesterday and today. We just got out there just like hogs in the mud and stayed there, and we got... I tell you what, I might not ought to think like that, but I got to thinking today. I thought, well, my lands, we'd be getting more done on a rainy day, and we've been getting done on a sunshiny day. Maybe the rain ain't so bad after all. So it looks like when it's kind of nippy and rainy, folks kind of get around out there. They act like they can't do too much until it starts getting cold, and then they move around pretty perk like. So I think maybe it might not be so bad after all. But the thing is, they fix electrical lines in the snow and ice, don't they? Is that right? John, when you was on board ship and a storm come up, did all of you run down to the cubby hole? You stayed right with it, is that right? Brother Taylor, I believe I've heard you say some of them that sometime when the, up here, what do they call it, way up here where the man is way up in the top of the crow nest or whatever it is. Yeah, when the big waves comes that he almost gets to kiss the sea, but he stays up there until it throws him out. So see, in the ice and the snow, they put up the lines, they work right on, they do all these things, and who ever heard of people not working in the rain to win souls anyway? I never heard of that anyway. So it don't matter what it is, you still got to do it. And I appreciate our people because they're doing it. I think I've learned something about our people. Now, they'll draw back a little bit, but it's just because you don't say, go get it. But if they find out that you're going to do it, well, they'll go on out there and do it. They just want to know you got mean business about it, and then they'll go on out there and help you. So So I want you to know I mean business about it. I intend to do it. I know, there's that frown again. I'm going to keep telling you about it till you get rid of it. You get rid of that old devil and I'll quit talking to you. Just one person, always the same. You get rid of it and then I'll quit chiding with you. Somebody said, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit? Hey man, if you keep coming over in my yard throwing rocks at my dogs, I got a right to keep telling you to get out of my yards, all right? All right, now then. Now we got this board up here, and we've tried our very best by the grace of God to do what little we could here. And now we're going to have to rub some of this out and see if we can't pick up in a new way. Now, I would like to, if I could, I'd like to leave the tree, Brother Taylor, because we'll pick up there again and leave this part. Now wait, let's see what we're about. Leave this right here, this little square, and rub all this other out right here, okay? Now then, this will give us a little board here to work from. And if you will you just you work with us. And now what I'm going to try to do tonight, if you'll bear with me, is go back and pick up in our natural part to try to bring our type on up. Because if we don't keep the type, which is the natural word or the literal printed page, up with us, then we'll get way off key in our revelation. So we're trying to take some time for the revelation and some time for the natural. And even while we're bringing out the natural, we are still bringing the revelation. Now, Jesus said to feed my lambs, didn't he? Well, we got to have some natural along here to feed the lambs, Brother John. All they know is the milk of the Word. So then somebody, you say, now like the other night we was teaching about the cross being the brazen altar. Well, somebody don't even know what the brazen altar is. Ain't nobody never taught them what the brazen altar was. So how do they know what you're talking about? Now, I got 12 tapes that we made of teachings that tells about the brazen altar so that you people could get them and go ahead and study them. But so far, there's nobody that I know has bothered to see about it. So, if you already know it, well, that's good. But I'm speaking to you that don't know it. All right, now, we're trying to leave this little part over here, and we might have to erase it later. But now I want to pick up over here, if I can, tonight. And remember, the other night we left off over there, Abraham and Sarah had come over there into the land of Gerar, and the king, Abimelech, was here in this land. And Sarah had the child at about 90 years old and Abraham at about 100. And then for 37 years after that, thereabout, Sarah enjoyed the presence of Isaac and got to live with Isaac. And then at 127 years old, Sarah went to rest. And then I believe we brought out the other night, or if we didn't, we will tonight, that Jacob and Esau died at 147, his mother at 127, or rather Esau died at 137, his mother at 127, and then we find Jacob dying at 147 down in the land of Egypt. Now I'll mention the age of Jacob here, and we'll refer back to it later, but I'll mention Esau because we should get there tonight, somewhere in the neighborhood of that tonight. All right, now then, remember that after they went into the land of the Philistines, after they went here, Abraham then journeyed over to a place called Beer-Lahai-Roi. All right, right here, Beer-Lahai-Roi. Here he dwelt. Now, apparently, we will... I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I want to try to keep a continuity here so that you kind of know where we're going. Beer-Lahai-Roi. All right, now, here he dwelt over this place. Now, you remember Padan Aram. We reminded you of Padan Aram. It was down beyond Jordan where Jacob goes down to get his wife. And also down there in the land of the nativity, Isaac sent for Rebekah. And then we find that the son Ishmael, if you recall, if you remember now, the son Ishmael, he went over to Paran, the wilderness of Paran. Not Padan Aram, but the wilderness of Paran. And in the wilderness of Paran, here He became an archer. And there he lived as a wild man in the wilderness. And of course he spent his years, there. All right, now, I want you to notice here, Abraham went to this place. And you remember, Phicol, the chief captain of his army, and Abimelech came to visit with him. Now, we've already covered this, Brother Taylor. I'm just trying to back up here to get our thoughts in a continuity. All right, they came there, and Abraham set the seven lambs aside, and they made the covenant. All right, now, I mentioned Beersheba. Remember? All right, now, later on, you'll find that Isaac digs a well here in this area, and he calls it Sheba, and because it's Beer, when he calls the well Sheba, then he calls it Beersheba. Now, we'll list this. Remember, after Abraham's death, they covered up the wells, and Isaac went to dwell in the land of Gerar. Now, remember, Abraham was tempted. He went over to the mount over there. He offered up his son Isaac. And then here, we covered that the other night. And when he went over there, it was called Jehovah Jireh. Now, the redemptive names of God, if you'll put these down as we go, for now, from now on, you'll remember these names that are the redemptive names that you hear great Bible scholars refer to. This was Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, and it is said that it is seen in the Mount of God, or the Mount of the Lord, here where Isaac was offered. In the same mountain later we find David coming back to, and Jesus standing on the very same mountain where David stood weeping over Israel. It's the same one where David stands weeping, looking at his kingdom. And this mountain here has to do with those things. Now, if you'll stay right with us, you'll see it's called the Mount of God here. All right, now, Beersheba, there was four wells. And later when Abraham went back after the trying of his faith, God promised to make him a great nation. He goes back over to Baal-Haleroi. And here when he gets back over there, immediately he hears about Nahor and Milcah having children down in the land of Mesopotamia. He sends his servant there for a wife. And about this time, Sarah dies at 127. Now that Isaac is about 37 years old, and Abraham about 137, and Sarah dies. Now, after this, Rebekah comes in several years, I suppose, along in there somewhere. It's hard to put your finger on just exactly the age and time. But within several years there, he was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, so about 3 years difference in there, and then he marries Rebekah. Then Abraham also marries Keturah, and we mentioned the sons the other night. We named them, isn't that right? The other night we put them down and named them, and you have them on paper here. All right, now then, that was Abraham's third wife that we mentioned. All right, now, here Isaac takes up. Abraham begins to kind of fade out of the picture, and God begins to deal with Isaac. And even though Abraham continued to live 40, 50, 60, 75, another 35 years, and was about, I guess the boy was about 15 years old, Jacob and Esau, when Abraham finally died, his grandchildren. But anyway, he lived to be older, but Isaac took up from there. And we covered the life of Isaac the other night. He dwelt over by Beer-Haleroi here. And remember that when Sarah died, Abraham came to the place called Hebron, which he got from Elon. I brought this out the other night for 400 pieces of silver, I believe it was, current money with the merchants. He bought a piece of land that was over against Mamre, and we brought out what Mamre was, you know, when they had the battle down there, Sodom and Gomorrah. He went over there, and from the seed of Heth, he bought this land here with the cave of Machpelah, therefore a burying place, and it was called Hebron. That's where Sarah died. I brought it out the other night. Kirjatharba. So it become a burying place. And if you notice later, Jacob also buries Leah here. Now see, he didn't bury Rachel here. We'll get to Rachel in a little bit. But he buried Leah because she was running the type of the Jew. All right, now let's go in here if we can. If I can get these things in a continuity here, I'll just bring up some kind of a backlog here to where I can get started off. All right, now Isaac took his wife and then went to dwell here. And the Bible said the man become very great. He was very great. He had all the wealth of Abraham. And then there was a famine that hit in the land, and God told him not to go down into Egypt. That's probably the first time we have a record where he spoke to him. Anyway, because Abraham had been faithful, he said, Isaac, I will bless thee and give thee the land of Canaan. And so according to the Bible, and according to what the Lord told him, he did not go down into Egypt, but he went to dwell in the land of the Philistines over where Abimelech was. And you remember he made the same mistake that Abraham did. He said that she's my sister. And then when Abimelech saw him sporting with her, he reproved him for it. We brought that out the other night. And then we find him as Abimelech comes and tells him that the place is not big enough for both of them, that they want him to get out of their land because he's growing so great. And then when he leaves, Abimelech gets afraid and he says, thou art the blessed of the Lord. He goes up to Beersheba here where he's at, and he said, thou art the blessed of the Lord, and we want to make a covenant with you. And he goes up there, the chief captain, and I believe we brought that out the other night where he makes a covenant. But anyway, remember he went into the valley of Gerar, and he dug again the wells that Abraham had dug in his day that the Philistines had covered up. And we'll see if we can kind of pick up from this part and go on. I don't know what happened to the water asked for, but anyway, we find here that he comes to Gerar and the valley of Gerar. And he uncovers a well, and then after he digs this well, he finds a well of springing water. And immediately the people of Gerar begins to wrestle against him and claim the well, and they take it away. And the Bible calls it, he said that he called the well Esek because they strove with him. Then immediately he dug another well. And the Bible said after that he dug this well, they strove with him again, and he called this well Sitna, which was the second well. First it was the well Esek that they strove over. Next it was the well Sitna. Then after this he dug another well, and the Bible said for this well they did not strive, and he called this well Rehoboth. Now, after this he went up to this place called Beer-Haloi. When he got up there, they dug another well, and they found water, and he called it Sheba. And the Bible said after this, it was called Beersheba. Now, this is the one. Now then, after this, the Bible teaches that Isaac being very great, his sons there with him, and in everything going well with Isaac, it then comes over and it begins to talk about Jacob and Esau. Now then, according to the scriptures, Jacob and Esau, the Bible said it about 60 years old from what we can define here, that these children were born unto Isaac. Now, we don't have too much record as to what happened until we find Jacob and Esau having a difference over the birthright. Now we find that Isaac being old, and I know that a lot of people get the wrong idea here. I did when I first read it, but I'll explain it in just a few minutes. Isaac being old, he told Esau to go make him some venison. Venison, which of course comes from deer meat as far as we know. There's a different ways to make it, because we find that Rebecca made it out of took kids, which is goats, or something from the
flogged two of them and made it. But I want you to notice now, the Bible said that Isaac, being old, his eyes waxing dim, that he asked his firstborn, Esau, to go out and make this farm to kill him a deer, whatever it took to make it. And then when he come back, he was going to bless him with the birthright. Now the birthright, as you know, we've tried to explain it in the teachings, the birthright goes to the elder, and it means that whoever gets it gets his father's goods. If his father's got men servant, man servant, or women servants, or money, or gold, or silver, whatever it is, well, whoever has the birthright becomes the owner of all of it. And the birthright here always goes to the firstborn. But if you'll notice, all the way down from Adam, it was always switched over. Always Cain, Abel, and then Seth. Always one to get it, and then always bypassing it to go to the next one. All right, now we see here in this that Esau goes down there. He gets everything that he needs. He kills the deer. He comes back. But during the time he's gone, Rebekah goes to Jacob and causes him to go to his father and deceive his father. Now you say, did Rebekah do it? His own mother did it. She caused him to deceive his father. Now I want you to watch how she has to pay for it. If you watch real close, you see that God does, even though it was in God's plan, yet he doesn't let anything get by. Everything, the Bible said, for every transgression you'll have to pay for. Every transgression. All right, now, Esau goes out to do this, and while he's gone, the mother calls Jacob and takes the goat skin and puts it on his neck, puts it on his hand, and sends him into the father to deceive the father, because Esau was a hairy man. And the Bible said two nations was born unto Rebekah. God spoke to her. She was barren. And God, now I want you to watch what I'm saying now. God spoke to her prior to this, when she had conceived of Jacob, of Isaac. And God said, two nations is within thy womb, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, this is why she did it. A lot of people said, well, Rebekah just done wrong. No. See, God had spoke to her before. She had something to go on is the reason she did this. She was barren, and Isaac entreated God for her sake, and she did conceive, and there was twins within the womb. And the Bible said they struggled together within the womb. She went to inquire of God, saying, why am I thus, if it be so? And God said, two nations is within thy womb, and told her that the elder would serve the younger. So she knows that Jacob is God's choice. That's why she leans to Jacob. All right, the daddy apparently takes Esau, because the birthright goes to Esau. Now, can you see what I'm saying? Notice how that always goes to the woman. Always to the woman. The man shows one thing and the woman shows another. Showing the brideship and the Jew all the way down. But the woman always does wrong and her son always does wrong. You ever notice that? All right, going all the way down, notice it now. So then after God speaks to Rebekah, then remember Esau's in the field hunting. He comes hungry, and Jacob has got some pottage and lentil out here, and here comes Esau along. This is before he goes to make the venison for his daddy. So then he comes along. He's been out here in the field hunting, and he comes along. Here's Jacob over here. He's got pottage. He got lentil. And as he comes by, Esau says to Jacob, give me some of your pottage. He said, I'm faint. And Jacob said, I will if you'll give me your birthright. See, now Jacob knew what the birthright was worth. And so he said, you give me the birthright. Well, no doubt Esau thought, well, it don't make no difference. He's just foolish. I'll just tell him I'll give it to him. I'm the firstborn anyway. He ought to have more sense to think he could get my blessing. Because I'm the firstborn. My daddy's going to give it to me. So I said, all right, you can have it. So the Bible said, thus he despised his birthright. That doesn't mean that Esau went away despising his birthright in the sense he didn't want it. But in the sight of God, that was despising his birthright to do what he did. He went away, no doubt, thinking he had the birthright as much as he ever did. So then thus he despised his birthright in the sight of God. All right, the Bible said when he got this pottage, and got this little, he gave his birthright to Jacob. Now then, so you see, when Jacob goes to his father, he's not really deceiving his father at all, in the sense that he does own the birthright. He owns the birthright, and the birthright brings the blessing, for the blessing goes to the one that owned the birthright. God has already spoken to Rebekah, and here Esau has already surrendered it up to Jacob, but it has to go through a deceitful state because the father would never give in to that. So then he knows it goes to the firstborn. So Jacob, he goes in, and the eyes of Isaac is dim. And Isaac said to him, said, son, I'm old, I know not the day of my death, and said, I want you to make me some of this venison, and I want to eat it, and I want to bless you before my soul dies. Well, now, the first thing that we think is that Isaac is fixing to die. But that's not right, because 20 years later, Jacob comes back from the land of his mother's kindred, and his dad still isn't dead. See, it sounds like he's fixing to die. All right, now that's why I say don't get the wrong idea about it. So then here he comes to him, and the Bible said during the absence of Esau, here comes Jacob. And so his daddy said, your voice sounds like Jacob. He said, but your hands feel hairy like Esau. Said, you got the voice of Jacob. And then when he smelt in that goat smell, knowing that Esau had been out in the field, well, he accepted it. All right, now, a lot of times it pays to go by your hearing instead of your feeling. Is that right? Faith cometh by hearing. If he went by what he heard, he knew that was Jacob's voice. But a lot of folks say, well, I don't feel so good. I'm not eating as good as you are, you know. So I don't feel like I'm getting blessed like you are. So it pays to go by your hearing. But anyway, as the daddy dies, as the father dies, or as he's getting ready to die, then he blesses Jacob, and Jacob deceives the father. Now, I want you to notice how God makes Rebekah pay for this. She hears that Esau is going to kill Jacob after this. Now, the Bible, when Paul refers back to it in the New Testament, he says that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears after that he lost his birthright. Now, this is speaking revelation-wise. The birthright in the natural back there signifies your heavenly birthright. And my friend, if you lose it over your belly, and the Bible said make your belly your God because you just can't quit eating long enough to fast to get a spiritual mind, you need to come weeping and crying thinking you're going to get it back. You won't do it. Somebody will take your crown. If you lose it over some little thing out here in the world, like a home or a car or a sex party or a temper fit or whatever it might be, you remember you're not going to get it back. It's gone. It's gone. Now, you better take time to be holy. You better not be too busy to worship God. Everybody has to worship God for themselves. A lot of times a wife will take the idea, I'm the wife and I'm the mother and I don't have time to worship God. Daddy does all of that. But my friend, you're going to die and go to hell, and Daddy's going to go to heaven. You be about the things of God and forget about the natural just like Daddy does. Now, a lot of mothers wouldn't give Daddy such a hard time if there was more spiritual minded. That's where the trouble is now. All right, now, Paul referring back to it, to the birthright, here, put down the birthright, you got it right here, referring back to the birthright, the firstborn here, he refers to it as our title to heaven, so to speak. And he says Esau lost it and sought repentance with bitter tears, but found no place of repentance. Now, where did Paul read about Esau seeking repentance with bitter tears? Right here, you can see it. When Esau came in from the field and he came to his father, he came over here to Isaac, and Isaac was there, his eyes dim, he came with a blessing, and the Bible said that Isaac exceedingly trembled, and said, thy brother with subtlety has come and taken away thy blessing. And here it suddenly dawns on Esau what he has done. And he screams out. He said, called him a supplier and so forth, and said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Said, for he has taken away my birthright and now he's come and taken away my blessing. And he fell down and he began to cry, or began to cry out and began to say, my Father, hast thou not at least one blessing left for me? And the Bible said he wept, seeking repentance with bitter tears. He wept. But he couldn't get that birthright back. It was gone. He wept, see? No doubt he fell down on his face and he called on God and he called on his dad. But he couldn't get it back. He fell down, he began to weep. And he said, Father, my Father, bless me. Oh, even me, oh, my Father. But it was too late. It was too late, see? The blessing was gone. Now, a lot of you folks are going to start calling on God pretty soon. The Bible said every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he's Lord of lords. I don't care how haughty, high-minded, I don't care how rich, how poor, how sure you are, you're going to bow down. You're going to bow down. So then he did cry, but it didn't do any good. See, the birthright was gone. A lot of you people are going to lose your birthright if you don't watch out. You're going to have to pray. The Bible, you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that I could do that. The Bible said, hold fast. Hold fast. You hold fast, he said. Let no man take your crown. Let no man take your crown. Hold fast. Hold fast. Let no man take your crown. Like yesterday, I was out there digging. Ricky had been digging and he went off and laid his shovel down. It was really muddy and bad. He went off to lay his shovel down. Before he got back, I got his shovel. Well, Ricky come back and I said, it's too late. I got your crown. Somebody said, throw a muddy shovel. That's all it takes to get your crown. That's where the crown is. The Bible said, rewarded according to a man's labor. Is that right? And Rick don't have anything to worry about. That was just me talking to him. He's just a little coincident there that took place, and I was just reminding him of how precious the birthright is. That doesn't mean you lost your crown, Rick, but I was just giving you an illustration there. That's how easy it is. When you don't come and help on the building, you're losing your crown. When you don't fast, you don't pray, you don't give. Somebody said, that's right. It's right. It's right. I know you don't believe it, but it's right. You're losing your crown. Now somebody said, well, if you belong to another church, go help over there. If you belong to another work of God, go help over that. But be sure you help somewhere, because you're losing your crown if you don't. You've got to take a part, my friend. You've got to do it. All right, now, the Bible said he that won't provide for his own household is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And the Bible speaks of the household of faith. It says especially those that are of the household of faith. It puts an especially to them. So then this is your household. You better make some provisions. All right, now, there's something everybody can do. All right, now, look at here. This is just the milk of the word tonight, because there's lamb. All right, now, here's the birthright. Where is it going? Where is it going? According to the Bible, it's going to Jacob. All right, now, watch this. Rebekah, immediately, she's still very cunning. Now, she knows that Esau is planning to kill Jacob. Now, of course, he's got about 20 years to wait. He doesn't know that. But he said, just as quick as the days of mourning is over for my father, I'll kill Jacob. Because the blessing that he gave Jacob was the dew from heaven and the fatness of the earth sustained him with plenty of corn and wine. Said, let nations serve thee, and thy mother's son bow down to thee. And let all of the men's servants that I got and the women's servants, let them be obedient and let them serve thee. And then he said to Esau, he said, thine shall be the dew from heaven and the fatness of the earth. He said, it shall come to pass that thou shalt have dominion when you break the brother's yoke from off of your neck. And the Bible said, because of the blessing, he hated his brother. All right, now then, Rebekah's still cunning, still trying to protect and doing everything she can. Now she's worried about Jacob, because Jacob told her beforehand, said, I may look like a deceiver to my father if he happens to discern me. And she said, let the curse be upon me, when he said, my father may curse me. So then here's Rebekah. She goes to Jacob, and she says, Jacob, she said, Esau has taken a wife of the Canaanites. He had took three wives over there, Ader and Bathsheba. He had one by the name of Judith over there, and Oholibamah. Now, Judith must have been one of the three, Ader, Oholibamah, Bathsheba, because it doesn't give the name Judith but one time. It does speak of Judith of Bera and Bathsheba of Elon over there, the Hittite. But anyway, here he had taken wives of these. He had taken wives of these, and later when he found out that it didn't please his mother and dad for him to do this, after he saw him sending Jacob down to the land of Padan Aram, down there to Laban the Syrian, his mother's brother, to get a wife, then he went over there and he took of the seed of Ishmael another wife, which was the sister, the Bible said, of Nebajah. That was one of Ishmael's lineage that we mentioned here the other night. It was a sister, Mahalath. So then, according to what Rebekah did, she said to Jacob, she said, he has taken a wife of the Canaanites, and said, what good is my life unto me if Jacob does this? Now see how cunning she is. She said, my life will be worth nothing to me anymore if Jacob goes and does this. Said, I'm weary of my life because of what Esau has done. Now, that's how cunning a woman is. I want you to get that tonight. Very cunning, just like a fox. She'd already told Jacob, said, I'm going to send you down to the land of Padan Aram. Said, because I don't want your brother to kill you. Said, ain't no need of me being robbed of you and your dad. So I'll just send you down there. See, he said, I'll send you down there for a few days, and then when your brother gets over his temper, said, I'll send down there and fetch you, and you can come back. Now, here's why she did it. She didn't like Esau, in the sense she didn't want Esau ruling over her. And she knew the one that got the blessing, that he was going to be lord over her and all the household. And she wanted Jacob to do it because Jacob was her pig. I mean, you did probably what you want to. That's the way it was. So then she said, you go down there for a few days and then you come back and take over the household. But God was watching that thing, and for 20 long years he never let Jacob come back. Esau was around the house. For 20 years she had to face that thing. You understand what I'm saying? For 20 years he didn't make it back. He didn't come back in a few days. He got down there and fell in love with a woman, and he stayed down there for 20 years. So then Esau stayed around there, around the household, and Jacob, he was gone. And Rebekah really paid for what she done. For 20 years, she didn't even get to see him after that. But see how cunning it was? She said, now you go down to the land of Padan Aram, and immediately after she indoctrinated him, then she went over here to Isaac, and she said, Isaac, said, my soul is weary of Esau and his wife. See, she didn't like Esau, and she didn't like his wife, apparently. That don't sound right, does it? Now you say, you mean she didn't love her son? I'm sure she loved her son. But I'm sure she didn't like the way he done. She didn't like his Canaanite wife. Sometimes mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws don't get along too good. So she went over and she kind of let the kid out of the bag, as we say. And she said, Isaac, see, she's indoctrinating Isaac now. So Isaac, knowing that he's the household, she can't send Jacob to the land of Padan Aram. She's got to work it through the man. You see how cunning the woman is? She's got to work it through the man. So she goes over here and she indoctrinates Isaac so that he'll tell Jacob to go do what she's already told him to do. So what happens? She has her way. She gets what she wants. Of course, God's in it. Just like over I spoke about Abraham and Hagar and the wife, you know, over there, how that God was in what Sarah done. She pitched a temper fit, and she said she wasn't going to let them that son Ishmael over there be heir with her son Isaac. And God said, just let it go on. A lot of time when the wife pitching a fit, she's going to pay for it. She's going to pay for it. But just let it go on. You see, Sarah died at 127 years old. That's right. And Abraham lived to marry again. He went right on. She went out of the picture. So it pays to watch what you're doing, wife. It pays to watch what you're doing. So then, Jacob went down to the land of Padan Aram. And we want to trace his footsteps a little down there to keep up with our natural time here. But anyway, I want to clear this up about Isaac before we start dealing with Jacob. And I'd like to run Jacob through, if I could, over to where Joseph takes up, and we'll leave off with Joseph until next time. But now I want you to see this. See, she indoctrinated Jacob, and then she goes and works that thing cunningly through Isaac. So Isaac, he calls Jacob, and he said, Jacob, don't you go get a wife of the Canaanites. Said, you go down there to your mother's brother, down there into Laban, in the land of Padan Aram, and you go down there and had to go down across Jordan. You go down there and you get your wife, and then you come on back home. So then off he goes down to the land of Padan Aram. So Rebecca has had her way, and she doesn't know it, but she just robbed herself of the fellowship of her son for 20 long years. All right. Now, the Bible said that Jacob left to go down to the land of Padan Aram. As he started on his journey, he went by a place. He didn't know what the place was. He went by a place, and he lay down to go to sleep. He got him a stone for a pillar, and the Bible said as he slept, there was a ladder set up, and this ladder is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between heaven and earth. For the Bible said in the New Testament that the angels were sent, seen, sending and descending. Because he's told Nathan, when Nathan come over there to him, Nathan found him over there at a cave or something, and Nathan said, "Thou truly art the Son of God," because he said, "I saw you back over yonder when you was on the fig tree," and so forth. "No guile in your mouth." No, he said, "Surely thou art the Son of God." And he said, "Don't marvel all this," said, "because the angels will send and descend upon the Son of Man." So just watch. So here's the ladder set up on earth now, reaching up to heaven. That great mediator, that stairway to heaven by which we leave this earth and go to heaven. And it just so happened that Jacob had laid down in the same place where Abraham had been. And God had made the covenant with Abraham after Lot had left him over there. And he called it El Bethel. He called it the house of God. El means thee. Is that right, Al? El Bethel, he called it the house of God. He had gotten into the same place where Abraham was, and he didn't know it, so he laid down there. He took a stone, he made it for a pillar, and God came and spoke to him at night, and he saw the angels ascending and descending, and Jesus standing here at the top of the ladder, and he began to speak to him, and he said to Jacob, he said, "Jacob, I'll bless you and give you all of this land." Now, you remember he told Abraham the same thing after Lot had left him here at the same place. When he had come up out of Egypt, you've got it on your scratch patch here, where he said, "Go back to Bethel." And Abraham went back over there to Bethel, having Ai on the east and so forth, and we spoke of the other night. And here he come back up to Bethel, and here he lays down, here he goes to sleep, and then he gets scared and wakes up, and he said, "This is the house of God." So he really gets afraid. But now remember, God's got a good memory. I want you to notice this. The Bible said, "Pay thy vows, for God hath no pleasure in fools." Now, he calls you a fool if you make a vow to him and you don't pay it. All right, so here Jacob gets all afraid, and he said, "Surely this is a terrible place. This is the house of God." I didn't know it. And truly it was, because Abraham had went over and God had anointed. It was the same place that God said that I'll give this place to you, Abraham, and to your seed. And now he's telling Jacob the seed. Here it is. All right, now, the Bible said that he awoke and he said, "Lord, if you will take me down to the land of Laban, give me a wife and bring me back to my father's land in peace, my father's house." He said, "I'll give you a tenth of everything that I have if you'll bless me and give me food and give me raiment and bring me back to my father's house in peace." All right, now this was the vow that Jacob made, and he called the place El Bethel. All right, now then, the Bible said he left and he went on down to the land of Laban. He got down there and he looked in the field or in the plains and he saw a well. And here when he saw the well, the Bible said that they had some sheep out here by the well, and there were some men out there waiting to water the sheep. And the scripture says that as Jacob approached, he told him, said, "Well, it's not time to water the cattle." And he wondered why they wasn't letting them graze out there, see? So about this time, he looked, and here comes Rachel with her father's sheep. And Jacob was making inquiry about Laban, and they told him, said, "We know him," and said, "He's well," and said, "Everything's all right." And about that time, here comes Rachel, and they recognize Rachel, and they tell Jacob, "Here she comes with the sheep." The Bible said, "Here she comes with the sheep to water the sheep." And these men were waiting for somebody to roll the stone away from the mouth of the well. Said, "We can't water until all the cattle be gathered together. And then they'll roll the stone away, we'll water the cattle." So Jacob, he just dumps and rolls a stone away when he sees Rachel coming. And then the Bible teaches that he lifts up his voice and he wept. And here, according to the Bible, he goes over to the house of his kindred, over to Laban. Laban runs out to meet him and finds out he's a relative, and they refer to each other like we do in this day, brothers and sisters, you know. And so he calls him brother, when really he's his uncle is what it is, but he calls him brother, one of the kindred. And he stays there for a month with him, and out Laban said, well, you're my brother, you ought not to labor with me for nothing. Said, tell me your wages. So he said, the Bible said he had a daughter there that was beautiful and well favored, named Rachel. So Jacob said, I'll labor 7 years for my first cousin. So he said, all right, said, it's better I give her to you, the wife, than to somebody else. And so then the Bible said he labored 7 years, and then they had a feast, and the lights was dim in that day, you know. And so when night came, here he veiled the woman, no doubt as it was, in that day to do, and when he took his wife the next morning, he recognized she was Leah. Well, he was all upset over it, so he went to chide with Laban about it, and Laban said, in our land that it's not so done to give the younger before the elder. Said, you fulfill her week, and I'll also give you Rachel. Now, he calls that a week, 7 years, a week. That's, you notice how that comes out in the prophecies of Daniel over there? This is something that they had among the Jews. All right, now this was a Syrian down there, but among that kindred it was. So, fulfill a week, and the Bible said he labored 7 other years for Rachel, and then Rachel was given. Now, here's something that a lot of people overlook. On one occasion in harvest time, we find out later that Reuben, the son of Leah, goes out to get mandrakes, comes back, and Rachel talks her out of them. Now, here, I want to try to keep a continuity of what I'm trying to bring out here about the two wives so you get the revelation of it. All right, before we get to the mandrakes, let's take the last 7 years he takes Rachel. The last 7 years. All right, he works another 6 years before he leaves the land of Laban. Now he has his sons. I named them the other night. We had them here on the board. He has his sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Are you still with me now? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. He has his sons here by Leah. All right, then he has his son, one son, by Rachel. Remember now, the Bible said that Leah was hated, and because of that, God closed the wound of Rachel and let Leah bear 4 sons. All right, now then, Rachel being hated, the Bible said that she was hated, or rather Leah was hated, and so he opens the wound of Leah and closes the wound of Rachel, and later on, he has mercy on Rachel, and she has one son, Joseph. Now, the thing I want to point out is that every one of these sons was born in the land of Laban before he crosses Jordan to go back into the Canaan land. Now remember this. This is real important that you remember this. These sons was born, even Joseph, before he gets back to the land of Canaan, and there's just one son born in the land of Canaan, and that's Benjamin, and we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Now when we come to the revelation of this, you'll see what I'm talking about, what I'm speaking about, the mandrake, in a few minutes we'll bring it out. All right, now then, the Bible said that he had labored. He said, fulfill her week, which is 7 years. He got Rachel. Then after this, he tells the dad of Rachel and Leah that he wants to go back to his father's homeland to provide for his own. And the father says to him, said, I've learned that since you've been with me, that God has blessed me for your sake. And said, if you'll appoint your wages, said, I'll give you whatever it is if you'll stay with me. So the Bible says that Jacob agrees to do it and stays another 6 years, which all total is 20 years that he spends down there with Laban. You remember how that he took the chestnut and the hazel wood, the chestnut wood and the hazel wood and the poplar wood, and stripped it down and put it over in the gutter so that when the cattle come to conceive, how it was rained, straight and speckled and grizzled over there. The Bible said that they were. When Laban appointed him his hire to be the rain straight, well, he would let them conceive in the gutters before these peeled poplar and chestnut and so forth. And then the Bible said, whatever he appointed him be his wages, well, that's what it was. Because Jacob had seen in a vision, see where these things was going on, where the Bible said the rams had leaped upon the ewes and so forth, and that there was rain straight, grizzle and spotted and so forth. And he took the brown of the sheep. He told him, if any sheep be found among my sons that are not brown, well, then you can accuse us of stealing and so forth. This will be my hire. So he took the brown sheep. And the Bible said, whichever way Laban appointed him his wage, God would always bless it. And Jacob was cunning enough that he would take the stronger cattle to to conceive, and before the poplar, the chestnut, and the hazelwood, and put the weaker up there for Laban. So he wound up with the weaker cattle. He's really cunning. He's cunning in everything he done. But it was the mind of God working with him. So the Bible said for 6 years he done this, and now that 6 years, 10 times Laban changed his wage. Now there's really something in that right there. 10 times he changed his wages during this time. Now the Bible said that after this 6 years, Jacob began to hear the sons of Laban, and that Laban's heart wasn't with Jacob anymore because the prosperity was going in a different direction. You know, it's just like a lot of folk. As long as the prosperity is coming in their direction, they're all right. But you let the prosperity change, and they figure they want to make a change in sin. So he overheard the sons talking, and the sons started talking and said that Jacob has taken all of the wealth of our father. So Jacob realized the heart wasn't toward him anymore. So he took his children, and he left. He went over Jordan, and he went to Mount Gilead. Now then, he had come over Jordan, down to the land of Paddan Aram. Rebekah had paid for her wrong. 20 years, her son had been gone. And here he is, he's got 6 sons in all by Leah. He's got 1 son, which was the son of Rachel. And he's got 2 sons, which was the sons of Bilhah, and 2 sons, which was Zilpha. Now, we don't need to name these, but we run back over. Most of you know them. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah was the first 4 that was born unto Leah. And then after this, because Rachel could have no children, her and Jacob had an argument over it. She blamed Jacob with it. And then when Jacob got upset at her, he said, I'm not in God's stead to give you children. So then she said, take Bilhah, my maid. So he married the maid. He did not commit an act of harlotry like some evil-minded people like to believe, you know, this just take whoever you wanted to that day. It wasn't that. It was an upright thing according to their day. So he took Bilhah to wife. And the Bible said she bore him 2 sons, and those 2 sons was called Dan and Naphtali. And then after this, Leah gave Zilpah her handmaid, and we explained what a handmaid was the other night, why they give them. And the Bible said that Gad and Asher was born unto Jacob of Zilpah. And then after this, there was Joseph born of Rachel. And then there was no more children born in the land of Paddan Aram after that. The next one was Benjamin that was born later between El Bethel and Ephraim. Born between El Bethel and Ephraim, which is, they said, is beyond the Tower of Edom. Now then, and this is where Rachel died in the way. Died in the way as Benjamin was born. We'll bring it on out as we go along here. She called his name Ben-Onah, and his daddy called his name Benjamin. Just prior to this is where Rebekah's nurse Deborah dies, and they bury her under the oak Allen Baker, which is back at El Bethel. Now, it's getting out ahead a little bit, but we're going to name those sons, and we'll try to pick up where we was and continue on to over where Joseph is. Now, the Bible said that he went into the land of Canaan, or that is, he went over Jordan, set his face toward Mount Gilead. The wives had told him to do whatever he wanted to. Jacob had explained how the father was cheating him, and they felt like the father was taking away their substance, and they wanted it for their children, so they said, you do whatever you feel best. But the thing is, Rachel took his God with her. That is, took the image and took that with her. So then, Laban, when he went to shear sheep and he found out that Jacob had stolen away, he got upset. He got his brethren. He pursued after him. In 7 days' journey, he overtook him over in Mount Gilead. He crossed over Jordan. And just as he was approaching Mount Gilead, the Bible said that God spoke to him in a dream and said, Laban, don't you speak good nor evil to Jacob. So Laban went right on anyway, and he spoke to Jacob. And he told him that he had taken his gods away, and he was upset with him. Said, you took my daughters away, and you didn't let me have a big feast and kiss my children goodbye. Well, Jacob knew what he was after. He knew how crooked Laban had been. But anyway, the Bible said that he was upset because of his gods, and Jacob told him why he had fled away, that he felt that he would take everything he had, and certainly he would have, from what the Bible teaches. But anyway, he said, now whoever's got your gods, said, just let them die. Said, let them die. He didn't know that Rachel had the gods. Now, so he went through Bilhah and Zilpah and Leah's tent, and he searched everything, and then when he got to Rachel's tent, Rachel had put the god in some piece of furniture that was the camel furniture here that she was sitting down on. And you know what the custom of women is. You understand what I mean. And so when her father came along, she said, Father, forgive me, for the custom of women is upon me and I can't rise up. So she just sat right there and she didn't get up. And her father excused her. See how cunning women are? She knew just exactly what to do. So then here he bypassed, and she still held on to those false images and those false gods. See, it wasn't Leah that had the false gods. It was Rachel. You understand what I'm saying? Now then, Israel always followed God, but it's always the Gentiles that seek after the things of the world. Is that right? So then Jacob, he was really upset when the gods wasn't found, and he felt like that he'd been mistreated. A lot of people feel like if you ever lose your temper, you know that you're hell bound and God don't love you anymore. But Jacob lost his temper and went right on and met a host of angels shortly after. Now I say this to you in this day, a lot of times I raise my voice and you think I'm unsanctified, but he stayed sanctified. So then, I do say this though, that you can't be losing your temper in the day that we're living in, flying off the handle and expecting God to forgive you. That's right, the Bible said anger rests in the bosom of fools. Back there, they didn't have the light you've got, the knowledge you've got, so God gave mercy. But anyway, immediately after that, Laban and him chided like this. Well, Jacob, he got upset with him, and he really told him, he said, I stayed down there for 20 years, and I labored 7 years for one wife and 7 years for another wife. And he went on to tell him, he said, I never eat of your flock. And he said, I saw that the ewes didn't cast their little ones. And he said, everything that beast killed, he said, I bore the loss of it. And his type of Jesus prophecy coming forth, where he said, in the daytimes of the drought consume me. He said, at night the frost consume me. And he said, the sleep went from my eyes and so forth. And it was type of what Jesus went through with. He said, and you required everything at my hands. So then, after they had their chiding, Laban, ashamed of what he had done, he said, let us make a covenant. And so then they set up a covenant. Now I want you to especially notice this, because here he crosses over Jordan, Jacob gets a stone, and then he tells his brethren to gather stones. Now remember, when they come out of the wilderness, we brought this out on some of the tapes before, you remember the first thing they did was set up stones. Isn't that right? They set up stones. That's why I speak about these moonstones, to be sure to watch what's going on about the moonstones, because you're getting close to the end of the way. If you're not honest in your heart, and if you're not honest with God and yourself and your fellow man, my friend, you better get honest and quit trying to be pious and think because somebody's fooled by the appearance of you and your face that you're going to get to heaven, because God's looking at your heart. It's between you and Him. That's where it's at, and you don't like to see. Now, so then they cross over Jordan, and then Jacob gets a stone, and his brethren get these stones. How they put these stones up? And then when they put these stones up, and this has to do with our well out here, if you'll listen real close now. They put the stones here, and then Laban says to Jacob, let us make a covenant. So Jacob says, all right, we'll make a covenant. Laban said, these are my children. These are my cattle. And he said, I want you to swear to me that you won't take no other wives to you, and you won't abuse my daughters. And Jacob makes Laban swear to him that they won't cross over this Jordan or this heap of stone to each other. Jacob calls it Galilee. We need to write these things down too. He calls it Galilee. It's called Mizpah. That's what the voice said to me in the night vision, to call the well Mizpah. And so it's called Mizpah, but Jacob called it Galilee. And Laban called it Jigar Sehadutha. This is what he called it, but it's really called Mizpah. So then one calls it Jigar Sehadutha, another calls it Galilee, and it's really called Mizpah. I guess God must have called it Mizpah. But it means the place where Samuel judged Israel, or where the covenant was made. See, so now you understand what I'm saying about our well out there when I say where the covenant was made? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, you say it's foolish to name a well. Well, then what about Esek, Sit, and Rehoboth and Beersheba up here? Why did they name those wells if it's foolish to do it? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the vision, it said name it Mizpah. Why? Because God wanted to remind us that we're at the end of the way. That's what it was. See, the rock that followed them was Christ Jesus, that water from the rock. Said he gave them water from the rock. The rock out here, Mizpah, the place where God judged Israel. Is that right? That's right. And I spoke of the judgment coming in that you folks better shapen up. If you ever have got right, you better get right now. See, Mizpah, God said to me in that vision, Mizpah, because he wanted to remind you, not that this well means anything in the natural, it's just plain water, but it means something spiritually. In Mizpah, the place where the covenant was made, God is reminding you of his covenant. And I spoke of it here a few nights ago, how we got pictures of this thing that went up out here, this pillar of fire that went up out here in the symbol. And somebody said to me here a while back, they said, oh, so that's just something the weather's doing out there. Well, it had to be something the weather was doing, because that's where the covenant was made, the rainbow and the weather. The weather, that's why God made the covenant, the rainbow and the weather. So it had to be something concerning the weather for it to be the right kind of allegory. And so when it come up out there, it was a rainbow a few nights ago. And then it turned into a pillar of fire, and Atlee said he got real good pictures of it. Is that right, Atlee? Real good pictures of it. Alright, so you see what I mean? Where God made the covenant with Israel. Alright? Mizpah. That might sound like I'm beside myself. Paul said, I'm beside myself for the Lord. Alright, now. Laban called it Jigar Sehadutha. Alright, now. After this, he met, the Bible said that Laban returned to his own land. They spent the night there, and then he had a feast, and he sacrificed, and then he went back to his homeland. All right, Jacob, the Bible said, met a host of angels. And he called this place Mahanaim when he met the host of angels. And then after this, the Bible said that Jacob set his face toward his homeland. All right, now, just hold on a little longer. We're going to be through here in just a little while. We ain't got much further to go. I wanted to do this. I know it's a little hard for me. I have to go back and get the natural and bring it up, but this is the only way I can do it, because some of the younger folks and some of them is coming in, they won't even know what we're talking about when we refer to something if they've never heard about it. So I want to bring this on up. It won't take me but a few more minutes. All right, now then. Remember, you're getting a Bible education. If you was in college, when you got through with this, they'd give you a diploma from college. That's right. It took Brother Taylor 4 years to get that, didn't it, Brother Taylor? All right, now. I said, well, you can't do that. Yes, I could. I'm charged with the government where I can give you a college degree, just like you get over there. Now, but here's the thing. What I'm trying to say now, this place is called Mizpah. It's called Mizpah. All right, now that's a real outstanding thing, so let that linger in your heart and mind now. Mizpah, right, where the covenant was made. All right, now then, later Samuel the seer comes back to this place. He was a prophet, and he comes back to Mizpah to judge Israel. All right, now here Jacob goes back. All right, now he's happy. Laban is behind him. He's on his way home. But now, how many of you know the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out? All right, now, here he is real happy. But all of a sudden, it comes across his mind about Esau. 20 years ago, I pulled a deal on Esau. I mean, as far as the natural is concerned. 20 years ago, I got him upset at me. I wonder if after 20 years, he'll be wanting to see his brother. So he sends over to Seir. Now, remember the lineage of Esau is called Edom. Edom. When you read of Edom in the Bible, this is Esau. And he goes to Mount Seir where the Horites was over there. Mount Seir. All right, now, the time he goes to Seir is really later as far as really going over there to set up his kingdom there, because of the cattle of Jacob and him, they can't dwell together. God's blessed them so greatly. But now here's the church and the Jew running side by side according to the teachings of Paul. Right, the Bible teaches that Jacob set his face toward the homeland, but he begins to think about Esau. Then he tells some of his brethren, said, you go over to the Mount Seir, and you tell Esau, I'm coming. and he wants to fill Esau out. So Esau, after 20 years, he's done forgot about him. See, but it's still on Jacob's conscience. You see how that thing works. When you do wrong, 20 years from now, when you stand before God, it's going to be on your conscience. That's right, the person you mistreated probably forgot all about it, but not God. Not God, see. God brought that back to Jacob's conscience. All right, so he sends over to Mount Seir. And the Bible said when he sends over to Mount Seir, well, here comes Esau. He's forgot all about it. He gets 400 men, and he comes out there to meet his brother. He's real tickled to see his brother, you know. He wants to see his brother. He's big, you know, big deal now. He's got a lot of money and cattle, and he's rich. And he ain't worried about that back there, because all he was worried about the birthright anyway was losing those natural things. That's all it amounted to that day. And God done made him rich. He's got plenty of riches. So here he comes to meet him. Well, this just scares Jacob about half to death. Jacob, he gets scared. 400 men coming. When he gets a report, 400 men coming, well, he figures he's coming out there to kill all of them. And really what he's doing is bringing 400 men out there to help them bring their cattle in and so forth. All right, now then, we'll try to hurry along here. I know it might be getting a little cool on you. Just endure the cross just a little bit longer. You'll be dead after a while. So here, according to the Bible, heading back to the homeland, the Bible said that he divides up the tribes. He puts Zilpha and Bilhah and their children out here in the front, and he gives them a present. And he makes another little space here, and he puts Leah and her children and gives them a present. Then he makes another little space here, and he takes Rachel and her children. He takes more presents. Leah to his own understanding, trying to figure it out. He's done prayed to God, and he said, God, sit down. I'm not worthy of the least of your blessings, and you promised, Lord, and you know, I told you I'd give you a tenth of what I had and everything. And see, he's reminded he probably didn't give God nothing so far. But he says, Lord, you know, I said I'd give you this, and Lord, I said, you ever notice folks like that when they get in trouble? Lord, you know what I told you, Lord, and that's as far as it ever gets. But I want you to notice what God does later, so God lets him by with it. So he said, Lord, you know, I said I'd do this and I'd do that, and Lord, you promised you'd... He said, Lord, okay, Jacob. So here he goes on, and the Bible said he takes 200 he-goats and 20, or 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats. He takes 200 ewes and 20 rams. I'll let Brother Taylor put these down while we're going along here. He takes 30 milk camels and their colts. Takes 40 kine. That's the cattle. He takes 10 bulls and 20 she-asses and 20 fowls. And all of this now is presents out of his flock that he's going to give Esau. 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and then 25. All right, now he takes all this as a present he's going to give to his brother. He knew that he took away his blessing, so he's going to try to restore. In other words, he's making restitution. How many believe in restitution? He's making restitution, and really you never did get nothing. But 20 years down there away from his brother, down there in hard times, all he ever got. 20 years away from his family, he never did get his daddy's goods. Now he's going back to get his daddy's goods now. When he gets up there, he'll get his father's goods. He'll be ruling over the house and all he's got, plus what he's already got. And God will even make him greater than that. All right, because he said he'd make nations out of him. All right, now he sends all these things ahead, and here comes Esau to meet him. And the Bible said when just before Esau comes, Jacob goes over Jabbok, the place called Jabbok, Ford Jabbok, which is a brook over there. You find later out in the wilderness when Moses and him comes around on the trip back to Canaan land, they run across these things we're speaking of here, the brooks and so forth. But anyway, the Bible said that Jacob sends his flocks on over, and he sends these three parties on over, and then he stays behind and he prays all night long. This is where the angel touches him on his thigh here, and the thigh of the sinew here shrinks. And the Bible said after that Israel don't never eat of it anymore. But anyway, here he prays all night long, and then an angel of God comes to him and wrestles with him. And the angel can't get loose from him. Jacob just holds on for dear life. The place is called Peniel. And he wrestles here all night long. All night long he wrestles. And finally the breaking of the day comes, and the angel still can't get loose from him. And finally the angel said, let me go. So the day is coming, let me go. And Jacob said, no, so I can't let you go till you bless me. In other words, that's to say, Esau's coming. You got to do something for me. Esau's coming. And so he prays for his family. I wonder how many of you men would pray all night for your wife and children. I wonder if you got that kind of God. Do you know the same God Jacob's got? How many of you tonight, knowing danger for your children and your little baby's sick, would you pray all night? So then here he prays all night long for his family. This is the kind of love he's got for him. All night long he prays for him. I don't believe Jacob's afraid to die. So all night long he prays for his family. Then he goes over the brook. And then here comes Esau, and Esau comes like an angel. He sees his face happy, and he's glad to see him. And Jacob is so carried away, well, he just don't know what to do. But finally the angel tells here that night, he says, Jacob, you've got to let me go. So the day is coming. And finally he blesses him and he says, what's your name? And he tells him his name. And then after he tells him his name, he says, all right. He said, your name's Jacob, but from henceforth you'll be called Israel. For as a prince you prevail. You've got power with God and you prevail. Now if we prayed all night, God might say that we had power with God too. Morning endureth but for a night, joy cometh in the morning. So then he let him go. Finally, when he touched the thigh, the Bible said that Jacob had to turn him loose. He lost his hold on him. And he went halting on his thigh. He went limping along after that. All right, now then, God doesn't remind him of the name Israel until just a little bit later. We don't have it just a little bit further to go, if you'll just bear with me. All right, now then, here he is. He meets Esau, and Esau blesses him. And he bows down to him, and all the people bows down to him, and he tells him how glad he is to see him, and we won't go through all the greetings here, but they fell on each other's neck and kiss each other and all these kind of things, you know, and we're glad to see each other. So finally Jacob said, take my presents. And Esau said, well, I got a plenty, don't need it. Jacob said, well, take it anyway. And he keeps on until finally takes it, and Esau insists on leaving some men with him. He said, I don't need them. And he said, well, come on, go with me. He said, well, I'll overdrive the herds and the little ones and so forth. And he said, you just go on by yourself. And he said, we'll make it. We'll come on. So he said, I don't want to overdrive the herds. I got little ones here and got children. And said, I don't want to do that. He said, you just go on. He said, and we'll be all right. So the Bible said that Esau went back. And here Jacob goes over to a certain place over here to where he makes booths for his cattle. Now he's on his way to Shalem, to the land of Shechem. Here where he runs into a little problem we'll get to in just a few minutes, and we don't have but a very little bit left here to go. But anyway, he goes up to a certain place up here to where he makes booths for his cattle. And then after he makes booths for his cattle, he stays here a while, and then he goes on up to a place called Shalem. When he gets up there, he makes an altar. He builds an altar unto the Lord after he gets up there, and he buys a parcel of ground from Shechem. Here, the ground called Shechem, and there's a boy there by the name of Shechem that's a prince in the land, and his dad is named Hamor. He's a king over this place. You can write that down if you want to. But he stops at a place called Succoth here, and he makes booths for his cattle. Then he goes on to Shalem, and then he puts up the altar here at Shalem. All right, have you got it wrote down? He makes an altar, he calls it Elohi Israel. This is the name of it. Now, he makes, remember these names now, redemptive names like Jehovah Jireh and so forth, in the name of these altars, remember, as we put them down, because they mean something when you check them out in spiritual revelation. All right, then while he's here, the Bible said that Dinah, remember now, Leah bore seven children, and one was a girl by the name of Dinah. So all she goes down to the land of Shechem, and she's looking around, and the son of Hamor here, Shechem, he takes this girl. He takes this girl. And then the Bible said he lays with her, he defiles her. And then after this, he's in love with her, and he wants to marry her. He realizes his sin and his wrong, he wants to correct it. All right, he goes over here. His father Hamor and Shechem goes over here and offers ever so much dowry to Jacob and to the sons, and Jacob doesn't say anything at all to his sons about it because they're out there in the field with the cattle, and he doesn't get upset, he just waits till they come home. So here the sons come home and they're wroth, they're mad, they're upset. It wasn't like the day we're living in where brothers and sisters intermingled and act like a bunch of prostitutes and harlots. They were decent around their sisters and so forth. So, and they was really mad and upset about this thing when they come in. And here they really got upset over it. And Jacob couldn't appease their wrath. And they said, this is folly in Israel. Things ought not to be done. And they was mad about it. And so deceitfully they spoke to Shechem. Shechem said, well, I'll make everything right. I'll do what's right about it. But they were still mad about it. And they said, well, you got to be circumcised. And we can't take uncircumcised people into our people. And Hamor said, if you'll intermarry with us and give us your daughters and wives, we'll give you our daughters and wives, and you can dwell among us, and your cattle will be our cattle, and so forth. We'll all live together. And he said, so you can do this. But he said, no, so we can't do that. So deceitfully they answered him because they had an evil plot. And the Bible said that these men agreed to be circumcised, went down there and had the whole city circumcised. And on the third day, the Bible said, when they're in their bodies, they were sore. They couldn't move around. And about that time, Simeon and Levi, the Bible said, this is why Jacob later called them instruments of cruelty. They went down there with their swords and killed every male in the place when they couldn't fight back. Killed every last one of them because of what they'd done to Dinah. They took all the gold, all the silver, everything out of the stores, everything out of the houses. All their brethren went down there and took everything they had and spoiled the houses and took everything. The word spoil there means take what they had. Take, and then took their wives and took their children and took all of them back and to become their people. Jacob was really upset. He said, you've made me to stink in the land. He said, I'm few in number. And said, when the others hear about this, he said, they'll come over here and they'll destroy me. But see, God did that, allowed it to put the fear of Jacob upon all the nations. The Bible said instead of rising up against him, they were afraid. The terror of God went throughout the land, and they was afraid of Jacob after that. They didn't pursue after him. But God wanted to put the fear of God back in Jacob's heart. They had done got over there, and they had all kind of jewelry, and they was living it up. And Jacob come to his senses. And Jacob said, now, said, you people put away the strange gods from among you and do away with all this jewelry. So the Bible said they took the jewels out of their ears and off their arms and so forth. And he buried them under a tree over there, an oak over there. And then after that, God said, go up to Bethel. So here he goes back to Bethel. Now remember, God will call you back to your vow. Here's where he saw the ladder. We're getting close to the end of the trail right here now for tonight. All right, so here he goes back over to Bethel. When he gets over there, God speaks to him. This is where Deborah dies. They bury him under the tree. Or Deborah, the nurse of Rebekah, dies. And they bury her there under the oak. Here it's called Alan Baker. I mentioned that a while ago, under the shade of that oak there. Then while he's here, God reminds him. God reminds him of this vow and everything. Jacob, you'll be reminded now of your vow and what all you said. And you said if you could come back and say, well, this will be the house of God and all these things. Now I'm reminding you of what you said, Jacob. I'm reminding you. So Jacob comes to his senses right here. Now the Bible said that after he comes to his senses here, he sets his face on, he went up to Bethel, which is Canaan, and then he sets his face on over toward Hebron, which is the land of Mamre, over in that area where his kindred is buried over there, where Isaac is. So here he comes over here into this land. He finally makes it on into the land. But just before he does, between Bethel and Ephraim over here, Ephraim, which is called Bethlehem, between here, the Bible said, in between these places here, Rachel has hard travail, and here she loses her life bringing on Benjamin. This really shows something if you can see it. Now, you see what I see? You see what I'm saying here? Remember now, Bethel was called Luz at the first, but he named it Bethel. All right, now, here it is. Remember that for the Jew to come in, the Gentile has got to die. Is that right? Remember, you understand what I'm saying now? Remember, Rachel has had God's affection in symbols. Is that right? See, Rachel, a symbol of the bride, she's had Jacob's affection. Isn't that right? Leah hasn't. But now Rachel dies, and who's left? You see what I mean? See, it was Leah at the first, 7 years. That's why I told you to remember. Leah at the first. When Jesus Christ came, who did he come to first? Seven means completion with God, a dispensation of time. He came as a natural Jesus to a natural Jew and took the natural Jew, but that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted the bride, which was among the Gentiles. But you can't get a peanut, or you can't get what's in the peanut without getting the hull, can you? I mean, that's the laws of nature. So he said, you can't get the youngest without getting the oldest. You can't get a spiritual man without taking a natural body in which he's born, which he's bred, which he comes up in. You can't have a child without a womb. You understand what I'm saying? You like jelly, you can't have jelly unless you got a jar, something for it to be in, to be brought to you. Is that clear? All right, now, here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus, a natural Jesus, went to a natural Jew 7 years of dispensation of time there. He got it in the next dispensation of time, 7 years of dispensation of time. We'll bring this out in Joseph also in the dreams over there. All right, here he comes. He comes to the bride then. He's spending time with the bride. But remember, Joseph shows America, but Benjamin shows the Jews. Isn't that right? All right, now for us, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, shall turn and God is salvation of Jacob, and the whole house of Jacob shall be saved. Coming forth now, remember the Gentiles have to die out for the Jews to come back in. So that it was Leah in the beginning, now Rachel dies, and who is it? God's going to see that things is done right. Leah's going to have some time with her husband. You understand what I mean? And finally, when Jacob chooses one to bear in the old burying grounds where Abraham and the wives are buried, it's Leah. All right, so Rachel is buried between Ephraim and El Bethel beyond the Tower of Edom. And here her tomb is. He puts a pillar there and a tomb remains until today. That carries a great spiritual significance. He goes back to his homeland. His father dies. Isaac dies. And he and his brother Esau, buries Isaac. And then after this, they separate. And one goes one way into Mount Seir. And Jacob continues here in the land of his father. After this, now I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Now remember, Jacob is dwelling here in the land of his kindred. When we come to Joseph, where he goes out into the field to search for his brethren. Now this is where we're going to leave it tonight. Right here, Benjamin is born. Benoni was what she called the name. His life was going from her. The nurse said, you will have this son. And his daddy called his name Benjamin. Now, this brings us up in the natural symbols and allegories. And it took a little while, and I knew that it would. But I had to do this to be able to bring it up. Where it needs to be. Alright, so then we come up and he's back in his homeland now. He's become Lord over what he's got. His daddy's dead. And this is where we get into some things concerning the time of Jacob's trouble. All these things run toward the time of Jacob's trouble. And you say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean, Jacob's trouble? Jacob, which is Israel, in their homeland over there, and if you read the papers, they're entering into their trouble. Is that right? The time of Jacob's trouble. The Bible tells us to watch that. Watch it. So if you'll learn what Jacob's trouble was, and you'll know what the prophecies of today are and how close the coming of the great God of heaven is. So this is what we're going through now, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, I said that at the end of this, because I know a lot of people are not paying thorough attention to what I'm saying. Just like it's a lot of, well, I read that or that's in the Bible or they can read that. But see, there's more to it than you think when you get it in the mind of God, which is revelation. So pay attention to it because it's going to mean something on your life today. Bearing on your life today. All right, then we'll stop right here. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention tonight. And I know that I get mighty boring in talking to you on some of these things, but there's one thing about it. If you will endure these things like a good soldier, the Bible said you have to endure sound doctrine. He that endureth to the end, same shall be saved. If you can hold your spirit, endure these things, you'll be glad after a while. When the contrary winds of ideology begins to blow, and you know the Word of God, and you know what's went on, then you'll be so glad that you can answer back and say, praise God, I don't wonder about it. I've been down that trail. I know just exactly where it leads to. And you can help those that don't know where they're going out yonder.